Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking today about the upcoming Rapid City Area Schools bond referendum. Next, we hear from Val Simpson. She's campaign co-chair for a vote yes for Rapid City Schools. And she's joined in the SDPB Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio and SDPB's Black Hills studio by Mike Ressler. He's president of the school board. Val and Mike, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Lori.
Thanks, Lori.
So we've had a pretty comprehensive conversation just before you joined us, looking at the big picture and a community as a whole moving forward, economic development, workforce development, property taxes. So with you folks, I'd really like to look at the proposal itself and what it includes, why now, and what this plan is, if that's all right with you. And then some of the questions that people have been asking who say, we want you to start from scratch because this isn't good enough or you're not being open enough. So that's how we're going to map out this conversation. Start, if you will, and I'm not sure which one of you wants to start, with just what the urgency is for doing this now and weave in a little bit, if you will, about how this plan received public input and came together, if you would.
Thanks, Lori. So I've been on the school board since 2017, and when I started, things were stacked up as far as facilities needs goes. And so at that time, the district convened a task force made up of citizens in the community to study the problem. We also had a study that the district had commissioned from MGT that did an in-depth third-party analysis of the facilities needs. And so that was really the genesis of how this all started. And but when I started on the school board, I had some issues. I had some personal questions, I guess, about the safety and security of our buildings and our facilities. And some people know, a lot of people don't. I had a career at the fire department, so I have a different eye at looking at things, I guess. And one of the things that I've come to accept is the fire part of safety for school buildings is pretty well taken care of with fire alarms and sprinkler systems. Some of our older buildings don't have sprinkler systems, so that's worrisome. But what I really keyed in on was the other type of security issues that we have as far as somebody with bad intent having access to our students and our staff. And so one of the things that this bond does that I appreciate probably the most is that it not only builds new buildings, and we'll talk about those in detail here coming up, but it also allows us to retrofit our remaining buildings so that we can limit or even eliminate access that someone wanting to do harm to our staff or students would have. So that's a big thing for me.
And that's something that I think a lot of people are thinking about. I mean, I know it's hard to talk about because nobody wants this to happen in our communities, but I remember talking to a school resource officer once and said, if something happens, don't get on the national news and tell me that you didn't think it could happen here. Mm-hmm. It can happen anywhere, and you need to look at your buildings accordingly.
Lori, if I may add as well,
yeah,
so right now only three of our school buildings actually have safe and secure entrances, and throughout the district there are 19 annexes that are used at 9 different schools, and we know that those are not safe and secure learning environments either. So that is a real need.
All right.
That's addressed.
Tell me a little bit. I see the three elementary schools. What are some of the changes that this money would pay for?
So the real need we have right now in the district is capacity needs at the elementary level. We have had some impactors on that capacity. One of them is the fact that the district has experienced 100 new special ed students every year coming in. And they come in from around our area to the Rapid City District because we offer really good programs for special ed. That has an impact on our classrooms, though, because when you put special ed students into the picture, then you have to put them in a classroom, and you give up that classroom that would be there for 25 to 30 students, and now you have used it for 10. And so actually over the last several years, we've lost an entire four-section elementary school just due to meeting the needs for special ed, and that's not a problem for us. I mean, we want to have those students in our district, and we do want to meet their needs, but it's caused us with capacity issues. And so the other thing we do, we have a program that seeks to have all third graders proficient at reading by the end of third grade. And we've adopted some curriculum, and it's in place now. This is the second year of it. Our first year, we got amazing results in just the first year. And one of the things that curriculum does is it requires the teachers to have more one-on-one with the students for it to work properly. And so reduce class sizes from 30 down to 20. 20 to 25 is ideal for that program. And that fits with our strategic plan. That fits with our goals for education and reading by third grade. So that also has a drastic impact on the capacity of our rooms. And so what we have currently is, if you average all of our 15 elementary school buildings together, we're 105% over capacity right now. So we have we're stressed as it is now. We have absolutely no room for growth. So the three elementary schools is the big key to this. And we also have a middle school that is in dire need of replacement. It was even planned several years ago to be replaced, and those plans fell through due to lack of funding. But so three elementary schools to be built brand new, and one middle school to be built brand new.
And we're going to put some pictures up on our website after today's program attached to this conversation with photos from inside the buildings and some of the cracks on the walls and some of the facility problems. But this is, as you said, also about, you know, when those rooms are filled with children, how many children fit, and what kind of learning is happening there. Now, Val, as I looked at why people are opposed to this, you certainly have, and we're going to hear from somebody who's opposed from it in just a moment, you certainly have this argument of no new taxes, and we all understand that in South Dakota. But also there seem to be some arguments about what's going to happen to the alternative high school. What's going to happen here that you haven't told us? Does the school district have too much control once we pass this bond? Address some of that, if you will, as far as transparency. Do you think you've done a good enough job of communicating exactly what this program, this facilities plan, how it's going to roll out?
You know, that Mike may have to help me here as well. So that was a lot of questions wrapped into one. So I really find this process to have been very, very transparent. And I know some of the opponents say that the plan is ill-conceived and came out of nowhere, but it really has been a two-year process. And I sat on the facilities task force that's been a part of this conversation for 2 years. I'm a mom. I'm not an educator. I was a product of this public school district, and I understand from the business perspective and from the business side how important public education and the commitment to it is for a growing, thriving community, and that's why I was interested to get involved and learn how this all works for myself. But so I feel like it was extremely transparent process because there was lots of opportunities for public comment, public input. There was a citizens committee, this task force that was appointed, that were professionals from lots of different backgrounds that offered a fresh set of perspective and really dug into this MGT study that Mike mentioned was conducted by an independent third party several years ago. It was a very collaborative process. There was a lot of thought that went into this. So the notion that this is an ill-conceived plan is frankly, in my opinion, misinformation. Specifically as it relates to Rapid City High School, and I'll let Mike jump in here as well, I think we need to be very clear that the fact is this district and a lot of people in our community are extremely committed to this program. We've seen the success of it, and there is absolutely no truth in any contention that this program is going away. Right now, this program has some new programming that was implemented that does need a little bit of time for the district to be able to evaluate their space needs going forward. The fact of the matter, this district is, they've been under scrutiny to be fiscally conservative, and it's prudent to consider when a particular building is only approximately half utilizing its capacity, there's good reason for us to question or for there to be questions about, is that the best use of that program? I'm not sure that Rapid City High School's success is dependent on the building that they're in right now. It's because of the great staff and the great team that's there working with those kids. So huge commitment to make sure this program continues. And the intention is that the building that they're in right now would be converted to an elementary school that can have up to 650 students. Right now, it's currently being utilized by about 324 students in the alternative program.
Mike Ressler, there's a waiting list to get in, though, and the staffing has been reduced there. So tell me what the future of Rapid City area, or I'm sorry, the alternative high school, Rapid City High School is what it's called. Tell me the future of that program, please, because that's what I'm getting emails about.
Yep, so, and I understand that. So the future's good for it, actually. And the waiting list is it does have to do with students needing particular subjects, and we don't have staff to teach those particular subjects. So it's not like they can't come to the school at all. It's just those core subject matters. Those core subject class are full. The point is, the program's great. I give out diplomas for the last 2 years on the stage when they come by, and I'll do it again this spring. And what those kids have to say about the program, what they have to say about their teachers, what they have to say about what it took to get them that diploma is very heartwarming. And it's a real diploma. It's not just one that's handed to them. It's one that they've earned. And the reason why it works there is because of the individualized learning and the program that they do. So it doesn't have to occur in a traditional school building. As Val said, the program is under not really a pilot, but under a new program. And so we need to look at the needs that they're going to have going forward and give them the best technology and the best space for learning. I want to jump into just one part of the decision to use that school, though, and it's a fiscal one. I mean, we're asking $189,533,000 from the community. That's a bold ask. School boards just haven't done that in the past. It's a tough thing to pass that resolution because we know it's such an uphill climb. But I couldn't do it in good conscience, knowing that we have a building that's not being fully utilized. And so we've got a building that is a very good building. It might be old, but it's in tremendous shape. It's in a really good part of town for that neighborhood, for an elementary school. And the other thing is, if you look at all the factors that come to bear on it, we're talking about building three elementary schools brand new for $30 million apiece, roughly. And with about another $8 million, we can have another 650 seat capacity elementary school. So fiscal-wise, investment-wise, we can put another elementary school online. The important thing to remember is none of this happens. I mean, we don't abandon. I mean, we've got a person on a radio ad here in town saying that we're abandoning these students. And I think the person doing that ad knows that that's not a true statement. So none of this happens until obviously the bond passes and we have an idea of what it would take to build that elementary school in that spot or remodel. And so there's a lot of time to discover the exact best place and exact best program for Rapid City High School. We're not in any way, shape, or form forsaking them.
We need to move on to our next guest, but I want to give you a minute to just wrap us up in this last remaining minute. With two things, and one, Val, do you feel, and this could be a simple yes or no, but do you feel that there has been a misinformation campaign about the school bond issue?
Absolutely. There has been a misinformation campaign, and we've seen patterns that are very similar to other communities, and yes, absolutely, and that's unfortunate, so we really encourage people in the last 6 days prior to this election to please seek out the facts, and there are several opportunities to take tours hosted by the districts yet coming up. There's lots of great information both at the rcasfuture.org site and also the Vote Yes for RCS.com site. Please ask questions of your district. You can call them and they can answer questions. There is a lot of misinformation out there, which is really unfortunate, but we are really excited about the groundswell of support across this community. And while Mike may think it's a bold ask, I will just add it's a long overdue ask, and that is part of why we have to catch up.
Yeah. Mike, speak as you close just to voter turnout and then really how far this went before this ask was made.
Well, one of the things about a school bond, it's a supermajority that's needed to win it. Just what's 60% yes plus one voter. The other side of that is the no people, the opposition people, just have to put enough doubt and enough fear into 40% plus one that our plan isn't good. And we've been transparent, as Val said. The school board, the school district have nothing to gain and everything to lose by not being honest and straightforward. And transparency kind of goes both ways. I mean, we've had this information out for a couple of years now. We sought public input for most of 2019. And, you know, we can't coerce people to look in on all that we do, but our meetings are open meetings, our records are public records. And so just by the fact that people haven't asked me a lot of questions makes me think that there's not been a lot of interest in it until kind of the negative campaigns have kicked up the question. So that's unfortunate, but I think we can push through.
The vote is February 25th. My guests have been Mike Ressler. He's president of the school board, and Val Simpson. She's campaign co-chair for Vote Yes for Rapid City Schools. That website again, rcasfuture.org. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you.